Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He healed the broken in heart. He binded up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our God, and of great power his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifted up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy.
Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to this place to worship you, to read the word of the scripture, to glean from it what is necessary for this day, the words of life. The truth of the gospel, the promises of God. Father, we ask that you would help us today not only look into your word, but be hearers of the word, be doers of the word, be priests, evangelists, brothers and sisters, for we are the bride. And the bride needs the bridegroom's wisdom and knowledge and understanding so that we as the bride can serve. Serve our bridegroom. Serve him in a way that produces fruit. By lifting up Christ, we will draw men, all men unto him. Help us do that today. Father, as we look into your word and we honor this Sabbath day, a day when we shall rest in the finished work of the cross, rest in our Savior, our King, our Lord. Rest in the word. Father, thank you for this congregation and thank you for the people that are part of it. Thank you for their gifts. Thank you for the goodness that you've given them. Thank you for the trials that you have sent to them so that they can be overcomers through that Spirit. Father, help Misha as he looks into your word and gives us the preaching of the scriptures. Give him a heart that is free to preach the truth of the word in a way that hearers are not only compelled to listen and receive, but do. Do as it says. Do what it says. Through that Spirit. Father, we ask that you would give everyone in here a desire to get to know you better. As God the Father, through that Son and through that Spirit, give us the ability to read and the desire to read. Give us the ability to fellowship one with another, to have conversations about your word and your grace, and your mercy and your justice and your awesome power. Father, bless this day. Bless us that are with you today. And those that for some reason can't come to the word or cannot come to the listening of the word, visit them. Touch their hearts. Speak to them. Be close to them. Uplift them. Give them strength. Encourage them. And the ones that don't know you, Father, please help them be broken, lowly and contrite, so that grace may enter and faith begin. We pray for our leaders. We pray for the governments that you are over. We ask you to heed to the word, that they would heed to the word, that they would be awakened, enlightened, so that they would do your will. Work in them, Father, a work that you can only do. Change them, so that they can worship the one true God. And Father, we thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let us continue.
And God's peace. Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have many reasons to be thankful to our Heavenly Father, to gracious God. He provides us daily with many blessings, and today we can say that the weather is good, roads are good, and we are healthy enough to be here, to come here for our Sabbath day. And let us turn to our recommended text for today. And this is Gospel from Mark, chapter 1, and verses 29 to 39. So Mark chapter 1, 29 to 39. And this is the first chapter of this book from St. Mark. And it is natural that this chapter describes the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He just started his ministry, and in the beginning briefly described what happened with Jesus before his ministry, and then he started ministry itself. And let us read our text in Jesus' name. So starting from verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. So, here we see that in our first verse, it is written, when they were come out of the synagogue. And let us go a little bit before this text to find out better about this place where it happened and about this synagogue. And in verse 21, the same first chapter, we read, And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. So here we see that Jesus, with his chosen disciples, he chose disciples for himself before that, and together with them he came to the town of Capernaum, and it was, and on the Sabbath day they went to local synagogue, and there Jesus taught, how it is written here. And it was a usual thing when chiefs of a synagogue allowed spiritual teachers and rabbis from other places, when they came like visitor, visiting preacher, we can say. So, and they allowed them, spiritual teachers from other places, to teach in their synagogue. And it was the case with Jesus. So because he didn't live in this town of Capernaum, he was from another place, but he was here in the town, and he came to synagogue, and he was allowed to speak there before the people. So, and like it is written here, Jesus taught them. And his words, his teaching was very different from those things which people heard usually there. And it is written here, and they were astonished at his doctrine. So people in that synagogue were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And then something interesting happened. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, it means that not man, in fact, a man cried out, but in fact, more exactly, that unclean spirit which was inside of him cried out. And this unclean spirit through this man said, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And here we can see that this unclean spirit or devil, he recognized Jesus. He knew that Jesus, who Jesus was. And he was maybe the only one in that synagogue, in that room, who knew exactly who Jesus was. And other people in synagogue, humans, they didn't understand it, they didn't know it. And why this unclean spirit knew and people didn't know? Because, devils, unclean spirits, though they are devils and unclean, they are still spiritual creatures. Spiritual creatures. They were and are like fallen spiritual creatures, but still spiritual creatures. And they understand the spiritual things better than we humans. So, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. So Jesus released this man from his unclean spirit. And later in our text, we see that our text is not big, only 11 verses, but still in several places here we see like how Jesus healed diseased people. But here in this chapter, when Mark described the ministry of Jesus, he started not from healing of humans, but he started from the moment how Jesus released some unhappy man from devil. This man was possessed by devil, and Jesus released, helped this man to be free from this unclean spirit. And maybe it is not accidental that Mark first showed us how Jesus fought with this devil. Because when God created this world, he, in this world, everything was perfect. And there were no any sicknesses, diseases in the world. Everything was perfect. But because of a fallen angel, because of Satan or devil, so sin came to this world, and first people, Adam and Eve, they fell from grace, they committed a sin, they didn't obey God, and they became sinful people, and diseases came to this world, and death came to us. And I remember I heard that there are about, I don't remember exactly, but approximately, about there are about 60,000 different sicknesses and diseases in our world, so which we a human can have. So about 60,000. And even it is surprising how we can be still alive with so many different diseases. And so many different diseases, and connected with them sorrows and pains and problems and troubles and tears came to our world, to the people. And all of this because of sin. And Jesus first strikes to devil, who is the root of all of our troubles. And then, like we read before, so Jesus taught in local synagogue, and then service there was finished about noon, maybe about the same time, like we have our service here finished. And after that, we can go to our text, to the verse 29. And after synagogue, Jesus and his disciples went where? They went to a house of Peter, or Simon. He's called here Simon. So, and we can find out from here that Peter lived in this town, Capernaum, and he had a house. And let us read. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So we can see that Peter or Simon lived in one house with his brother Andrew. And from the next verse, we find out that Peter was married. He was already married, and he had a wife, and also he had a mother-in-law. And we read in the verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And we can see that Peter's mother-in-law was very sick. And normally when a guest came to a house, women helped to make table, to prepare food for guests and for a man. But this woman, mother-in-law of Peter, she couldn't do it because she was very, very sick. And it was a fever, like it is written. Probably she had a high temperature, and I think we all know what it means when we have temperature maybe close, I don't know, 39 degrees or maybe even 40. And it is natural that we cannot walk and we cannot do anything, and we just lay in bed. And this woman was in such condition, and she was in her bed. And Jesus was told about her condition immediately. I don't know why they told Jesus about her, maybe just to tell him that she's sick and maybe not to approach her. I don't know. But what happened? In verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And Jesus, immediately when he found out about this woman, he went to her and he had compassion upon her. And he took her by the hand and lifted her up, from her bed. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And here we see, in fact, it was a miracle, because we all know that fever, when it is high temperature, and I know it also, it takes a long time, and usually we take medicines and maybe hot tea or hot drinks and something else maybe, and it takes usually several days. But we see here that immediately the fever left her. It was a miracle. And then what happened after that, also a miracle. We know that after a serious fever, after several days of high temperature, and when the temperature is normal, but still for several days after that we feel weakness, we are weak and not so good still. So it takes several additional days for complete recovery. But here, this woman was healed immediately, and she ministered unto them. So she was healthy, completely healthy, and she could do necessary work in kitchen and around the table, and she ministered, she gave them food, and so she was completely healthy. And what does it say about us? First, I think about Jesus, I would like to say that he had, and in many other places we can see that he not just healed the people, but he had compassion for them. He sometimes even we can read that he was touched for tears, even tears were in his eyes. So because he loved people, he had compassion on them. And sometimes we know many different doctors in our life we met with, and some of them are maybe good doctors, but they are strict, then they maybe don't talk to you about some little things, maybe they don't. So they just doing their job. They do this, what is prescribed by their instructions. But I think all of us like such doctors who are kind, who are, when we see that they are interested in our life, they are interested not because of their job, but because they are kind people, they have compassion about us, and they want us to be healthy, not because of their job, but because of their kind human character. And Jesus was such a physician, such a kind physician. And also I can say that I heard that some predictions about our close future, that profession of doctors, it is maybe strange here today, but I heard that in close future we will not have doctors, human. Robots will do it, or artificial intelligence will heal us, will provide medical care for us. And it will be, I don't know, so we can say maybe it will heal us somehow, but we can say exactly that he will not show any compassion, any kindness to us. So artificial intelligence or robots, they don't care. They're just machines. But Jesus was different. So he was the greatest physician, doctor of all times and nations. And then something interesting happened later. And at even, in the evening, closer to the evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him and all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. So we can see that in the evening, a lot of people came to that house where Jesus was, and uh, Why? In verse 28, just one verse before our text, it is written here, when after this synagogue, it is written, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So Jesus very quickly, he became very famous. And we can say that in the morning Jesus came to this synagogue and he wasn't a well-known man. So maybe some people heard about him, but mostly in this town probably he was unknown. But by the evening already he was very famous, and people understood that he could heal any kind of disease. And in the evening they came to him with hope that he will heal them or their relatives or friends. And why did they come in the evening? Because, as we said before, service in synagogue was finished about noon. Okay, and then maybe lunchtime, maybe 2 hours or so, and still about 2 or 3 p.m. So at daytime. Why they didn't come at daytime before evening? Because it was a Sabbath day, as we said before, and it was prohibited by Judaism, by their religion, to do any work, anything on Sabbath day. And it was prohibited to receive medical care. And they didn't provide medical care on Sabbath day. Only it was allowed when it was a real threat for life of somebody, and that person can be given some help, but not to a cure, but just to stabilize his condition, and next day they will start a real treatment. So it was prohibited to receive medical care on Sabbath day, at daytime, but Sabbath was over in the evening, how it is written, when the sun did set. When in the time of sunset, Sabbath day was finished, was over, and many people, they were waiting for that moment, and they didn't have a clock, they didn't have watches, they didn't know exact time, so they were looking at the sun, when the sun was going down, and finally it was sunset, and Sabbath day was over, and people could go to Jesus without violating any rules. And a lot of people, and how it is written, and all the city was gathered together at the door. So a lot of people, so this Capernaum at that time was a town with several thousand people, more than 1,000 at least. So a lot of people, I don't know about thousands, but several hundred people exactly. And it was already evening, and we can see that Jesus had a long day. He had a service and teaching in the synagogue, then time in the house of Peter, and healing of his mother-in-law, and probably when he was with his disciples and maybe some other friends in that house. Jesus also didn't waste his time. He probably spoke to the people, he taught them, so he was always busy. And in the evening it was a time for rest finally, but a lot of people came to him and they were looking for help from him. And Jesus could tell them, oh, come tomorrow, and I will help you. But he didn't refuse. He, like it is written, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So, but we see that Jesus didn't refuse to help to anyone, and he healed a lot of people and cast out many devils. And again, so he healed a lot of different diseases, and people were healed immediately, again, like it was in the case with Peter's mother-in-law. So, and from here we can see, and we can say that only God can heal our diseases perfectly. Only God. And we can say that Jesus has power over sicknesses. He is a perfect physician. And how we know that in the beginning there were no sicknesses, and now a lot of different problems, physical sicknesses. But we will return to original condition, original how it was created in heavenly kingdom, when we will be in Jesus. And there, how it is written, there will not be any tears, any pain, any sicknesses, and it will be perfect again. But to get to this condition, we should follow a teaching of Jesus, and we should have or must have our sins forgiven in Jesus' name. And also, one thing came to my mind when I read about those people which came to house of Jesus. Like it is written in the book of Isaiah 55:6. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. It is written there, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And those people did exactly how it is written there, though they didn't realize. They didn't realize that Jesus was the Lord. They just wanted to find this wonderful physician who can help them. And how it is, let us read again. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And those people knew that Jesus was there in their town, and they knew that he didn't live in their town, and today he is here. Today he is near. And tomorrow they didn't know that he would be there or not. And they took this opportunity. They went to that house. They went to Jesus while he was there. And this is a good reminder for us also. We should seek the Lord while he may be found, and we should call him while he is near. Because we don't know about tomorrow. Today he is here, and tomorrow we don't know. Even God's Word, today we have God's Word, today we have the Bible, but we don't know about tomorrow or about close future. Maybe we won't have it. So we shouldn't waste time, and we should look for the Lord today while he is near. And what happened after that. Also it is written, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Also it is interesting, he didn't allow the devils to tell others about him. And why? Why? It is also interesting, because maybe we can say that even some devils could tell about Jesus, they could tell other people that he was Son of God, that he was the Lord, and maybe it was good, so other people would know. But in fact, Jesus didn't know to be famous, to have such kind of fame. He didn't want devils to speak about him. Why? Maybe because we know how Satan works, how devil works. He can give a lot of true information. Maybe 99% of truth devil can tell us, but 1% or maybe even less, it will be untrue, and it will bring us finally to death. So only complete truth. Like many years ago, I heard one preacher said about a ship, ship which sails in ocean, or and this course, for example, a ship has destination many hundreds or even thousand miles from here, and it goes, and even just little bit, not exactly, it will go to its destination, just little angle from correct line, and finally he will come to the very different place that he wanted initially. So Jesus didn't want devils to speak about him. And another thing maybe also he didn't want, this is a big question in fact. So I think Jesus didn't want to compromise with devil. He didn't want to deal with devil at all. But in our life we all know that sometimes we can, I think everybody met such things in his life. Sometimes we have a choice to compromise with evil, maybe with not devil exactly, but sometimes maybe with devil too, but with some evil things. Sometimes we can say, oh, maybe I will not be completely honest in this case, but it will be only one time. One time, this is not a big problem, but I will repent and maybe later, and so it will be okay, and I will never do it again. So this is like compromise with devil. And in fact, every time when we do, when we commit a sin, when we sin, even slightly, even some small sin, in fact, this is like we compromise with devil, like we make a deal with devil. And we should remember that leprosy, which represents sin, leprosy, this terrible disease, starts from just a tiny spot on the skin. And it can look innocent and not a big problem in the beginning, but then it will grow, and finally it will be very bad. And so with a sin, the same story with the sin, and the same story with compromising with the devil. Yeah, so Jesus didn't want to deal with the devil. He didn't want to have anything from devil, and because of that he and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him, so didn't allow them to speak about himself. But also it is interesting that Jesus also didn't allow other people to speak about him. So we read many times in the Bible, we read when Jesus healed somebody, he told them, don't tell anybody about them. And also it is interesting why. So about devils maybe it is clear, but about people. So maybe he didn't want other people to speak about him, because in this case, people could realize that he was a Messiah. And what kind of Messiah? And we know that Jews at that time and today, and at that time, they were waiting for promised Messiah. And what type of Messiah they were waiting for? They hoped that this great Messiah, this great man, would come to them, and he will be like a great politician. He will free their country from Romans, and he will create a good life here on this earth. But Jesus didn't want this. So he didn't come to this earth to create any good life here on this earth. He didn't come to become a successful politician, though he could be easily, because he was very wise and smart, and he understood, he could see the thoughts of people. So if he wanted, he could be president of Israel, we can say. He could be king of Israel, and maybe he could be even king of the whole world, and like even Satan, when we know when Satan tempted Jesus in desert, he told Satan told Jesus, "Bow to me, worship to me, and all earthly kingdoms will be given to you." But Jesus refused. He said, "Worship only to God and to nobody else." So, and when Jesus was here on the earth, his ministry wasn't finished. And his ministry was finished only when he died on the cross and when he rose from dead later, then. And now we can say and we understand that Jesus was that promised Messiah. And now we can know about him. And now we can proclaim to everybody that Jesus was that Messiah, was and is that promised God's Messiah, Son of God. So when his ministry was finished completely. But at that time, it wasn't necessary. Maybe, even at that time, it could give bad fruit. Maybe people could realize that Messiah is here with them, Messiah in their sense, how they understood about him. And they could start rebellion against Romans, and it could be finished with much blood and deaths and destruction. Yeah. So it wasn't good for that at that time. Okay, and then verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And then we see, so next day it was like how we see, it was a very busy day for Jesus. And probably he finished to heal the last patient, the last man, after midnight, maybe late night. But early in the morning, he wake up and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So Jesus went early in the morning and went to a remote solitary place where with a place without other people, and he went there to pray. And we can remember here that Jesus told when disciples asked him how to pray and where to pray, Jesus told them, go to an empty room, to some remote place where nobody can see you, and pray there. Not like Pharisees, spiritual teachers of Israel of that time. We know that they liked to pray on street corners when people could see them from both directions, and they stood on that corner and prayed. So they prayed for other people. They wanted other people to see them praying. But Jesus was different, and he taught us to do differently. And he taught us, and he did as he taught. This is also important, because sometimes some teachers, some even spiritual teachers, like Pharisees, for example, they taught one thing and they did differently. But what did Jesus say about that? Do listen to Pharisees and do what they teach. Also, maybe they taught good things, but they didn't do themselves those things. So, and Jesus went to pray. And why did he go to pray? Because we know he was Son of God, he was God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and he was the Son. And he went to pray to himself, maybe we can say. But no, he went, he was God, it is exactly, but he also was 100% a man. And he, as a man, he went to pray to his Heavenly Father, to his God, as a man. But also, maybe another thing, he had communication, and it wasn't, sometimes for us, praying is like we can say maybe responsibility, maybe even some kind of spiritual work, and when we do it, we can be proud, oh, I prayed. But for Jesus, it was a natural and necessary thing. He went to pray, and he communicated with God, and he probably enjoyed this time of prayer. So, and of course, he's a good example for us. He's a perfect example for us. And what happened after that? Verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And here we can see in this verse that Peter, Simon, he began to become a leader. It is written that Simon and others, but he is called by name Simon, so he was already a leader. And they followed after him. So they woke up in the morning, and where is Jesus? He's not there in the house. He was away. And they went to find him. And verse 37, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And they said, so, and we can see that many people already came to the house where Jesus was, and they wanted to see him again and to speak to him, and I don't know. So at least a lot of people came to the house and wanted to see him. And Peter and other his disciples, maybe, probably they were glad to see it and to know it. They understood that Jesus was a popular man. He became a popular man. And at that time, disciples wanted him to be such a popular man, a leader, and maybe, like we said, politician, and maybe a ruler of Israel. And maybe they thought, or he will be maybe king of Israel, and we will be around him. So they were thinking. So at that time, they were not spiritual people. They were thinking about money, about position, maybe career, and success in life. And also, it is interesting, I was thinking about this. We all know this success, word success, to be successful, and in our life we all want to be successful. And it is nothing bad with this in this life. So to be successful, to have a good job or business, and to provide our family, it is normal. But sometimes some people don't mind to have success with any means, and maybe how we said before, maybe to compromise with the devil, and so. And even I heard, and maybe it is true, that some famous, especially pop musician or actors in Hollywood, some prominent such creative people, they signed a deal with the devil. For example, a famous American singer Robert Zimmerman, more known as Bob Dylan, in one his interview, it is possible to find this information on the internet, he said himself that he signed a deal with devil, this Bob Dylan, and devil helped him to become famous and rich and so on. So, and to be successful in this life. So, and finally, devil will, maybe he can help us to be successful, but he will always come back to take his own, and he will come back to take our soul and to take it to hell. So this, such a cost of success can be. And also I was thinking about success. Can we say that Jesus, when he was here on the earth in human flesh, was he successful? I don't know. Exactly we can say that he is successful now, finally, in final account. Of course, he is successful because he has created church and billions of people followed him and they became Christians and they believe in him. In this case, of course, he is successful. But when he was on the earth, I don't know. So finally, he finished his life on the cross. He was killed. And if at that time to ask all those people around him who were yelling, crucify him, and if some journalist with microphone going around in that crowd and asked about, is that guy successful? I think they would say, no, he's not successful. But it wasn't goal for Jesus to be successful on this earth, in this world. And many times he told to his disciples about that. And in one thing, maybe I would like to mention, we all remember when Jesus sent 70 disciples to preach and to heal and to cast out devils. And when those 70 disciples came back to him, like it is written, Luke chapter 10, 17, 18, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even devils are subject unto us through thy name. So they were very glad. So they were ordinary people, ordinary fishermen and other simple people, but now they have great power. Even devils are subject unto us through thy name. But Jesus told them, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Also, interesting sentence. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I think maybe Jesus meant here, he saw Satan. When Satan, we know that he was powerful and maybe the best angel created by God, but then this angel rebelled against God and he was thrown away from Satan, or from heaven. So maybe he says here, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Maybe he says about that case when Satan was kicked out from heaven. And also it says that Jesus, it was a long, long time ago before he spoke to these disciples. So it says about that Jesus was there. In fact, he himself expelled or kicked out Satan from heaven. And then Jesus continues, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And for us, all this earthly success, it will, sooner or later, it will be over. Our earthly life will be finished in some day. And all success, all money, all, I don't know, all things will be left behind us. But the most important, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Yeah. And then, yeah, and when Peter and other disciples found him, and in how it is written in verse 38, it is written, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And Jesus told them, okay, we cannot stay here anymore, and we should go to other places to preach there, because these people, local people, people in this town of Capernaum, they heard my teaching already. But there are a lot of people, a lot of other people who didn't hear this, and we must go there. And in the final verse it is written, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So, and more people were preached and more people were healed. But here it is interesting that it is written, and he preached in their synagogues and cast out devils. So first it is written that he preached, the most important, that he preached. He preached about repentance, about forgiveness of sins, about his heavenly kingdom, about eternal life. This is the most important. And all this healing of physical diseases, this is additional things. It is also good, of course. This is like bonus or benefits. Some people, when people have a good job, they have a salary or wage, but additionally they have so-called benefits, some medical insurance, some additional medical insurance, dental insurance, and maybe something else. But this is not the most important. For example, if you come to a company and if you have a job and your employer will tell you, okay, you will work for me 8 hours a day and you will have dental benefits, medical insurance, and something else, but you will not have any salary. Only you will work for medical insurance, dental. Maybe one time a year you will go to dentist for free. And I think none of us would agree to have such a job. So the most important is salary, which we receive every month, every week. So, and here also, all this healing of physical diseases, this is additional like benefits, but the most important, which gives us life, because only with regular salary, when we have a job, only with a regular salary, we can provide our family, we can maintain life even in us. Yeah. But not with the benefits. Benefits only additional things. So, and here Jesus preached in synagogues and then and cast out devils. And it is not written here, but of course we can say that he also healed a lot of people with different diseases. So, and then also it is written, and he preached. So it is said that he was alone, just he preached himself. It was only the beginning of Christian church. In the beginning, it was only Jesus, he was alone. But then he found disciples for him, for himself, and they helped him, and when ascended to heaven, his disciples continued his ministry, and church started, and then Christian church was growing, and today we can see, today is our Sabbath day, Sunday, and we can think that in so many places God's word is preached just for today. So in many different countries, on many different languages, people of different nationalities, people of different skin colors, so huge diversity of people, but all of them say and preach about the same thing, about Jesus Christ, Son of God, about his ministry, about forgiveness of sin, and about possible eternal life in his name. And because he gave his life for us, for sinners, on the cross of Calvary. And let us be thankful to him for this, and let us remember it not only today on Sabbath day, but every moment of our life. Yeah, and let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, we thank you for this church, we thank you for this possibility that we can gather freely in your name and we can read your word and we can read and preach and listen God's word about Jesus Christ, about salvation, about what is good and what is bad. So we thank you. And we thank you for this. And we ask you to bless each of us. And we ask you to bless our day. And we ask you to bless our province of Alberta and our country, Canada. And also we ask you to bless all Christians, all Christian churches around the planet. And especially we pray for those Christians who are persecuted because not all Christians have freedom to worship to Jesus Christ, and we pray for those who are persecuted and suffer because of their faith. So, and also we ask you to accept our common prayer, that perfect prayer you taught us to pray. Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us those who trespassed against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And in the end, please accept God's blessings. God's blessings, like it is written in the Old Testament. Where is my... Oh, it is here. How it is written in Numbers, chapter 6, verses 24-26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And final hymn.